Now, all of us feel it from time to time. I think you all know the feelings, so to speak. Your heart starts racing, mouth gets a little dry, adrenaline rush, lightheaded, quick reaction, body is shaking. What is it? Fear, right? Fear strikes. And not all fear is bad. I hope we understand that. That fear, in fact, I believe that fear in part is given by the Lord, because fear is a natural reaction to a potentially dangerous situation. So in many respects, it can be a good thing. For instance, you're out in the yard and you see a toddler starting to rush towards a busy street, and all of a sudden, particularly if it's yours or somebody that's close by, there's a surge in your heart, and this, you know, it's kind of catch your breath and you rush out. Okay, that's fear, and that's a natural, it's a good thing. Or for those of you that have ever done any work on your home, you've been on a ladder painting or reaching for something, and then there's a kind of a rush of wind, and suddenly the ladder starts to teeter over a little bit, and it's like, oh, you know, you kind of catch your breath reaching for things and stuff like that. Okay, that's, again, that's a natural, it's a normal thing, it's a good thing. Okay, that is a reaction to a potentially dangerous situation. And then there's also spiritual fear, which is also a good thing, right? Because, oops, actually I'm missing my Bible. What happened to it? There it is. Spiritual fear is a good thing because the Scripture talks about the fear of the Lord as being a good thing. And what does the Bible say about the fear of the Lord? Who remembers it? Fear of the Lord is what? Beginning of wisdom. That's right. So that's amazing. What the Lord's really saying here is that one cannot have genuine wisdom unless you have the fear of the Lord as the basis of that. And what is the fear of the Lord? Okay, it's real simple. God is God, and we are His creation. That's called the fear of the Lord, okay? In other words, we are accountable to a higher power. Our actions mean something. They will be judged accordingly. And thus, what we do is being looked upon all the time by a higher power. That's called the fear of the Lord. We recognize that we answer ultimately to Him for our lives. And it keeps us in check. And so, in other words, we realize that what we do is going to matter, it matters to somebody, and that it prevents us, quite frankly, from just living, you know, Harry Carey, do my own thing, go out and do whatever I want to do, it doesn't make any difference. Those things matter to us, hopefully, because we have the fear of the Lord, because we know that our actions are going to be accountable to Him who gives us life. Also, we seek Him for direction, so that ensures that we don't go astray. We fear the Lord because we desire to be pleasing, our lives to be pleasing to Him, and that we want to do things His ways. But I really want to focus today on the negative aspects of fear, okay? Negative fear. And let's read part of the portion that we read today, Vayechi, and let's turn to Genesis chapter 50. This part Ed didn't read, but we'll read it anyway. Genesis 50. Last of the portions of Genesis, verse 15, and let's pick up here, Genesis 50, verse 15. It says this: When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs that we did to him?" So they sent word to Joseph, saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you're to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. And his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. Now what's going on here? If you all remember the rest of the story, Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers due to envy. Then he becomes imprisoned, you know, and for 20 years and so forth, goes through all that, later becomes the prime minister of Egypt. Now the brothers come, they've bowed down before Joseph years before in Egypt. The whole family relocates, including the father. Father Jacob comes, they all relocate. Now the father dies, okay? And now Joseph's brothers are deeply worried that their father is dead, and is Joseph going to seek revenge against them for what they did to him? And so they're afraid, fear wells up in them. And you know what? Their brother's fear is logical in a limited way. So we can't think it's an illogical thing. It's logical. Fear usually is logical in a limited way, no matter what kind of fear that we have. There's a logic to it, otherwise we wouldn't be fearful. But what was the limitation that Joseph's brothers had when they were fearful about this, about Joseph's revenge? And the limitation was this. The brothers assumed that Joseph's favor to them was linked with approval from their father. So in other words, that Joseph was not seeking revenge against his brothers as long as his father was alive, because he wanted to make sure that his father would approve of his actions. But once his father was dead, then it was like, ha ha, I can get him now. They treated me badly all these years, I'm going to get him. Now that's limitation. It's logical. It's a logical way to think, but it was limiting Joseph in God's purposes. And this was the problem here, is that the brothers assumed that Joseph's favor was linked, was linked with their approval from their father, but they were wrong, because his favor was linked from his approval from his heavenly father, not from his earthly father. You see, here's the situation. Turn with me to verse 19 of Exodus 50. Verse 19. Let's see what Joseph says to them when they become afraid of retribution. Verse 19, it says, Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to do harm, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. There's three points here that are important, and Joseph says them each time. Number one, he says, "Am I in the place of God?" And so, and that became a controlling factor. And that's a controlling factor anytime that we feel fear about anything. Am I in the place of God, or is God the one who's really in control of the situation? Number two, he says this. He says, "You, the brothers, intended me harm, but God intended what happened for good." So in other words, God is in control of my life, and he's in control of your life, and it doesn't so much matter what you intended to do. The key is what God intended to do with what happened. And so you see, what happens to us is we become fearful of what we see and the circumstances that we're faced with, but what we don't see is that God's often using them for his purposes, for a greater purpose. And that's what we need to look to, is not to what we see, but often to what we don't see, that God is in control ultimately. And number three, the point is here, is that Joseph says there's no need to fear, because it was the Lord's plan that this happened. It was the Lord's plan that I went through all of this. You thought you were going to do me evil, but God was using it for good. So there's no reason to fear. How dare that I would act in retribution or revenge against you, because it was for God's purposes that this happened. Amen? And so, and that is the fact that we face day in and day out. We don't realize that often what we go through, good or evil, God is using it ultimately for our lives and for his purposes. Now listen to this. This is the key. This is a key phrase here. I'm going to say it twice. Fear may be a logical response to any situation when God is not factored in. But when he is, fear must flee. I'm going to say that again. Fear may be a logical response to any situation when God is not factored in. But when he is, fear must flee. Now, we're going to do a little self-examination here. This is why I wanted everybody to have a bulletin. So what I want you to do is I want you to open that bulletin up so that the sermon outline is facing you. And in the lower right-hand corner, it's going to ask you the question, "What do you fear?" And you're going to write something down, one or more things. Now, let me give you some examples of the kinds of things that you could be fearful about, okay? I mean, and it could be a lot more things. But you may fear death, okay? You may fear a serious illness. You may fear the death of a loved one. You may fear your future, okay? You may fear financial ruin. You may fear failure. You may fear rejection. Maybe you fear of being accepted in a particular school or for a good job. Maybe you have a fear of the inability to cope with your life or the inability to provide for yourself and your family. So those are fears that you have. Or maybe you have a fear of being alone or fear of how your children are turning out or fear of the salvation of a loved one, that they won't be saved, or the fear of maybe a divorce or of a marriage that's on the rocks. Maybe you know, it could be one or many things or many more than these things. And what I want you to do is, while I'm talking these, I want you to write down something that you fear, okay? Something that you are afraid of, something that bothers you, gets to you. Okay, let's write this down. Let's everybody take some action here, folks, and not say, oh, well, I have no fears, you know, and so on. We all have some fears of things. Let's be honest. So let's write something down. Let's get something in there that you're afraid of. Now, as you're doing that, let's talk about the problems of fear, because there's some serious problems here. Number one, fear can control you and your actions. It can cause an unsettling in you. It can cause a discomfort. It causes no peace. It can cause a distraction. It causes you not to be able to focus on the agenda at hand. Because if you have a fear about something, it's a distraction. It's causing you because you're thinking about it, and you're ruminating about it, and you're concerned about it. All these kinds of things. It's just welling up inside of you. That's a problem. Number two is fear can paralyze you from doing what God wants. It's a huge distraction. You're not able to do what the Lord wants because you're so consumed by this particular thing. Number three is it can make you act weird around other people. What do I mean by that? Causing strained relationships. Let's say you fear being rejected by somebody, that you're close to a parent or a child or a close friend. You have a fear of rejection. And so as a consequence of that, anytime you're around that person, you start acting a little strange, you know. It's like you put up fronts and everything else, and that causes the other person to reject you even more. So that's the problem with fear. It's like it digs you into a grave. That's always the difficulty. And so that's number three, what can happen. Number four is it can cause physical problems, literally. It can cause ulcers, headaches, high blood pressure. It can cause a lack of sleep, and it can contribute to disease like cancer or even heart disease. All these things fear can feed into and be super destructive. That's the problem with things like fear. Fear is your enemy and it's God's enemy. We need to understand that. Fear is your enemy and it's God's enemy. Fear is simply a lack of faith. And in fact, when you experience fear, what it really is it's an opportunity to grow in faith in God. Because God doesn't expect us never to be afraid of anything, right? He doesn't expect us to be like Superman, like fear bullets bounce off our chest. Boom, boom. You know, like stuff like that. That's not the idea. But when something happens that concerns us, that makes us fearful, God wants us to address that situation and to grow in faith so that we're no longer plagued by this particular kind of fear. That is what God desires in our lives. Now, did Joseph, when he went through all those years of difficulty, did he experience fear? And here's my answer by a question. Was Joseph human? Right? Of course he did. Think about it. He was 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers to strangers coming through. What was he thinking when he was sold to those strangers? You think he was afraid? Of course he was afraid. What's going to happen to my life? Where's my family? Oh my gosh. You know, you can imagine. How about when he was sold as a slave in a foreign land to people that he didn't even understand? He's thinking to himself, what's going to happen to me? Fear is welling up. Of course he was experiencing fear. How about when he was falsely accused and thrown into prison? You think he was afraid? Then of course he was afraid. He's human, right? He's just normal. Could things get anything worse? But the point is, in the story of Joseph, is that fear did not conquer him, but he conquered fear. Amen? You see, he used it as an opportunity to build his faith in the Lord. The scripture says every place where Joseph was, no matter how bad it was, the scripture says that God was with him. When he was in jail, the scripture says that God was with him. When he was in slavery, it says that God was with him. God was always with him, and consequently, he was always turning to the Lord. And as he turned to the Lord, you know what Joseph experienced? He experienced peace, and he experienced rest. And each step of the way, he was getting closer and closer to God's purposes. He didn't see it yet. It took 20 years for Joseph's calamities to turn into glory, okay? But each step, he inched closer and closer and closer to redemption, to God's purposes. He didn't see it, but it was happening because he was turning to the Lord each step of the way. This is faith, folks. It says about faith that faith is the substance of things not seen. Faith is supernatural. Faith is not something that you can generate yourself. Faith comes only from God. As we turn to Him, He fills us full of faith and gives us the power to overcome. That's what it's all about. You see, God wants you to use your fears as an opportunity for Him to reveal His faithfulness to you. And that, but you have to let go of fear and trust Him for what He wants to accomplish. Now, here's the tricky thing about fear. This is real tricky. You see, God doesn't say that what you fear may not come to pass. There's no promise about that, okay? In other words, what you fear may happen, that may happen. And but here's the thing about it. And then your response is, when God doesn't apparently come through and it happens the way you were feared it to happen, it's like, aha, God is not real. God's not faithful. You see, it's just a joke. You know, you see, it's just an illusion that we can really trust in the Lord. But here's the problem here, is that we're limiting God because He is in control and His desire is to use everything and anything that happens for His purposes. That doesn't mean, and I've said this many times before, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to us is God's will. Not at all. But God wants to use everything that happens to us for His purposes, to draw us closer to Him, to bring about His glory more, and to accomplish His purposes throughout the entire world. Faith, as I said before, is not self-generated. It comes from God. It's a gift. We have to let go of the fear. Faith will arise in your heart, and you can be free. That's the whole point. The Scripture says about Yeshua that He said, the Son has come that you might be set free. He knows the truth shall be free. That's the whole point, is He's come to set you free. Now I want you, we're going to look at two more scriptures, and then we're going to take some action about fear. I really believe that God wants to set you free from fear of the things that you wrote down here today. Okay? But let's look at two quick scriptures. Isaiah 53. Let's look at Isaiah 53. Oh, Isaiah 53, that's just this old messianic prophecy. Yes, that's what it is. But I think there's a couple important verses in here that we want to look at. Isaiah 53. Let's look at it. Isaiah 53, beginning in verse 3. Let's look at it closely now. This is about Yeshua. It says, verse 3, He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed Him not. In other words, Yeshua experienced rejection. He experienced pain. He experienced sorrow. He experienced suffering. Those were Yeshua's experiences. Now let's look at verse 4. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered Him stricken by God, smitten by Him, and afflicted. Not only did He experience His own pain and suffering, but then He took our fears. That's the key. He took our afflictions, our diseases, our pains, and He took them upon Himself. Fear is a disease. I want you to repeat that with me. Fear is a disease. You see, He took fear with Him, your fear with Him, when He laid down His life. Now let's look at verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed. You see, then He died. Why? So we could have peace. We could be healed. We could be free from fear. He experienced it. He took ours. When He died and rose again, He broke it so that we could now experience His peace, His fearlessness. By His wounds, His stripes, we are healed. We can be free. That's the point. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, last verse. Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. It says this. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You see, this verse says, come to Yeshua. Those who are burdened, those who are fearful, those who are full of anxiety, He will give you rest. Why? Because of what He did. Verse 29 says this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take his yoke. In other words, what he did, he carried those things off of us, but we must transfer them to him. It's not just that he did it, but we must learn how to, by faith, transfer these things to him to be free. And then he says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, his ways are easy and light. It doesn't mean that we're to live not soberly or just do whatever and so on. But what it does mean is that God wants us to be free from fear, to be able to be lighthearted, to be full, to be joyful. That's the kind of life that God has destined for you and me. But the only way that we can do that is by being released from these particular things that we go through. Fear can be a stronghold. It can be in you and it can be controlling you, some more than others. God doesn't want it that way. He wants it to be ripped from you. And that's what I want us to be able to do here today, is to be able to rip it from us and to be, by doing that, by transferring the fear to Yeshua so that we become free, so that we're no longer bound by it anymore. Now, this is what I'm going to want you to do. I want you to take this bulletin right here, and I want everybody to do it, because I want something fearful down on that line. If you don't have something on that line, you're not human. You're not real, okay? You need to have something down on there that you're bothered by, that's just concerning you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to rip, see that it has a little line across the top, or across the fears, and we're going to rip that thing. We're going to rip it out of the bulletin, okay? Literally. But we're going to, don't rip it yet, don't start doing it yet, we're going to do it. We're going to do it together. But we're going to do it slowly, okay? And we're going to do it right next to our ears. So it's going to look a little like this. Because you want to hear the ripping. Now, why do we want to do that? I'm not talking about doing something weird here now, okay? Some kind of new age thing. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is we're going to do something physical that's going to be symptomatic of the spiritual realm. And God wants to rip that fear out of your hearts and out of your lives. And so you're going to listen to it being ripped off the bulletin, that thing that you put down there, the thing that's holding you captive. It's going to be ripped out, so you're going to hear it being ripping, and it's like it's being ripped out of your heart, so that you're going to be free. Then, what you're going to do with it is you're going to paste it on the board downstairs. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Okay, what you're going to do with it is, after you rip, you're going to crumple it up, okay? You're going to stick it in your pocket or in your purse, and then when you get to a trash can in the near future, you're going to chuck that baby into that trash can, okay? Because it's going to be out of this bulletin. It's going to be out of your life, okay? So let's all get our bulletins now. We want to hold it up near our ears like this, right? And we're going to rip it real slowly so you hear it ripping like that. Ugh. Okay, and then just rip it downward so you get it off the bulletin, but you want to save the rest of the bulletin for announcements. Okay, all right, and then you just take that piece of paper and you crunch it up. Stick it in your pocket or your purse or wherever. Okay, now you're going to do this. Let's do all that. Now, you all have the rest of the bulletin. Hopefully you didn't rip out the part that says conquering fear in the middle of the bulletin, okay? Hopefully you didn't. If you did, just do this somewhere else. Now what you want to do is, I want you to write down the date today, okay? Today's date. If you don't know what the date is, look on the left-hand side of the bulletin, you'll see it. And, okay, looks like we have a little radio report here, but whatever. Okay, I think the Lord was trying to tell you something. And, all right, so anyway, write the date down. And the reason we're going to write this date down is I want you to take this bulletin that remains of it. I want you to put it in a safe place in your house, okay? So that when something comes up, that fear that you ripped out of this bulletin comes up to try to get you again, I want you to look at that date there. Look where it says conquering fear and saying, I've been set free. Amen? I've been set free. It's an act of faith. I've been set free by the power of God because God is good. Amen? Amen? Okay, let's pray. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for Yeshua, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that he's come to set us free. He who the Son sets free shall be free indeed, O God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your delivering power, O God. Father, that you want us to be free of fear, O Lord, to be full of joy and purpose, Lord God, not to be walking around with various fears about different kinds of things, O Lord. You want us to be truly free, Lord. Father, I pray for each and every person in this room, Lord, as we walk through this experience, Lord, that we will conquer fear, O God. Lord, that we will use every time a fear tries to arise in us as an opportunity, Lord, to grow in you, to grow in faith, Lord, to be new people in the Messiah, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time, Lord, and this victory that we claim. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.